All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll look at this little message here tonight. Father, we just thank you for the Christmas time and the season and what Jesus Christ means to us, and Lord, that he came to die for our sins, to suffer for us, to shed his blood for us. And Lord, as we approach this new year, I know that everyone in this room has problems, Lord. We are in a world, a dangerous world that could erupt into all sorts of chaos at any moment. And Lord, we live in scary times. But Lord, I also know that you have great plans for all of us in this room for the year 2012. And I want, Lord, just for you to show us tonight how we can see those plans worked out in our life. What we need to do to have a really good 2012. So, Lord, from this little text we're going to look at tonight, I ask that you teach us that lesson, or the lessons you would have us to learn, by the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. Someone called me today, and they were saying, you know, they were kind of in the dumps, and they were asking me maybe to give them a charge for the year 2012. Well, I don't think there's a better charge for the year 2012 than what's contained here in Joshua number 3. But let me kind of set this up. Those of you that have been in our Wednesday night study, we've been following the nation of Israel from its inception all the way back in Genesis. We saw Abraham, and he had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had the 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. And if you remember the story, the 12 tribes were almost going to become extinct because there was a great famine in the land. But they had chased their brother Joseph, or actually sold him into slavery into Egypt. And you remember the story, Joseph became second in command, I'm not going to go through the whole story, to Pharaoh, and he actually, through that process, saved the nation of Israel. So they landed in Egypt. Joseph brought his family into Egypt, and they were there for 400 years. And we pick up the book of Exodus. They're there, but they're in bondage. And they're crying out to God, and God sends them a deliverer. And we remember the deliverer, right? That was Moses. And so Moses delivers them. He by the power of God, they cross the Red Sea. And as soon as they cross the Red Sea, they camp at Sinai, and they're given the law. And then, if you remember, they head to Kadesh Barnea, and God tells them, I want you to go into the promised land. But you remember the story. What do? They don't trust God from the very beginning, so they send out 12 spies into the land, which just showed right away they didn't trust God. And the spies, 10 of those spies, brought back a bad report. They said they saw giants in the land and walled villages and strong armies, enemy armies. And so they said, we can't go in the land. And they all went in their tents and wept that night. Well, that ticked God off really bad. So what did God tell them? He actually put a curse on them, didn't he? He said, every one of you are going to die in the wilderness. You're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness, and you're going to die in the wilderness. And it's going to be your children that you're so protective of that are going to actually make it into the promised land. And so can you imagine being an Israelite for 40 years, and every New Year when you went to celebrate New Year, you brought out the fireworks and, you know, all the champagne and everything, and you went to celebrate New Year's, you really had nothing to celebrate. I mean, all you had to celebrate was another year of wandering in the desert. I mean, year after year after year after year after year after year for 40 years wandering in the desert. But then when we come to the book of Deuteronomy, they're done wandering. All of that generation is dead. And there's a new generation, and they're about to go into the promised land. And Moses is, when we come to the book of Deuteronomy, Moses dies and he appoints Joshua to take his place. And now this new generation is about to enter the promised land, this land flowing with milk and honey. And they're going to be blessed mightily by God. But before they go in, have those giants gone anywhere? No. Are those walled cities still walled cities? Are those enemy armies still there? Yes, so Joshua has to prepare them for a difficult time. Even though they're going to be blessed, he has to prepare them for what they're about to go through. So in Joshua chapter 3, I want you to look in Joshua chapter 3. And I want to read I'm going to take this a little bit out of context. I'll be guilty of doing that tonight. But go to Joshua chapter 3 and look for verse number 4. And I want you to look at the very last phrase there. Listen to what he says. He says, for you have not passed this way before. You've never done what you're about to do, is what he says there. You've not passed this way before. Really what he's saying, guys, it's going to be a really happy new year. It's going to be a great new year, one like you've never had before, a year of promise and blessing, but it's not going to come without its challenges and difficulties. There's still those armies, there's still those giants, there's still those walled cities, so we have to prepare ourselves. So we begin this little message with this charge that we have to prepare ourselves for the coming year, 2012. Hey, what a year that might be for us. I believe it's going to be a great year for us, for me as an individual, for you as an individual, for our church here at Calvary Chapel. I really believe that. If we'll only trust the Lord. Now, is it going to be without its challenges and difficulties? No. In fact, I look at 2000. You know, a lot of people believe that in 2012, you know, based upon the Mayan calendar, that the world's going to end. I'm really not banking on that. You know, in some ways, I wish it would, because I know if it ends, Jesus Christ is coming to get me first. So it's not going to end. It's going to be at least 7 years before it ends. But we do live in very difficult and challenging times. There's wars and rumors of wars. I mean, you read the newspapers and oil has spiked back up to $100 a barrel. Why? Because people believe that at any moment, maybe in early 2012, Israel is going to strike Iran and there's going to be a war over there, and no telling what gas prices will go to at that point and how that will affect each and every one of us. We're in Afghanistan. There's all sorts of things going on. You just never know what kind of wars we might face. Natural disasters, have you noticed? I mean, hopefully you've noticed, or you've had your head in the sand. The recent natural disasters, starting with Katrina, actually before that, the tsunamis, the tsunami in Japan last year, the tornadoes in Joplin and Tuscaloosa and Alabama. I mean, we could have something like that come right up here in Lafayette next year. We don't know. Our economy, it's in great shape, right? It's pretty scary. It's on the brink of collapse. Now, I don't believe it's going to collapse until God lets it collapse, but we're living in pretty scary times. And listen, I know that every person in this room is facing some sort of personal giant, some sort of personal walled city, some sort of enemy that's coming against you. I believe 2012 can be a great year in spite of all those things that God can really bless us if we prepare. So how do we prepare? Well, let's listen to Joshua's charge to his people, and we can learn some great lessons right there. Look down in verse number 5, the first lesson. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify. That's a word we've seen quite often, haven't we? Sanctify means to separate yourself. Make yourself holy. Separate yourself unto what? Away from the world and unto who? Unto God. So he said, here's the first charge he gives them. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. In other words, make yourself holy. Separate yourself unto God. You know, I don't think there's better advice for 2012 than that right there. Separate yourself unto God through Jesus Christ. That's number one priority. In the world that we live in the world that you live in, with the giants that you're facing, the first thing you need to do, beginning to make that your number one New Year's resolution, to separate yourself away from this world and unto God. And then you know what will happen? You'll see God do wonders in your sight. You'll see God do wonders in your midst. He'll knock down those walls. He'll kill those giants. He'll destroy your enemies, and you'll have great victories. But first thing you got to do, just like they had to do, You have to sanctify yourself unto God. Now look at the next one. He says, and Joshua then spoke to the priest. Great type there of who? Who are the priests in the age that we live in right now? I want every priest in this room to raise their hand, because we are all priests. So he's speaking to us right here. Joshua spoke to the priest and saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. The people are going to watch you, priest, what you do. People are going to watch you and I, what we do. But what are we to do? We're to take up the Ark before the people and cross over into the promised land that God has for us in 2012. Now, You know what the ark is? The ark is a type of Jesus Christ and the cross. What's it? What's the main thing that the ark represents? It's the mercy seat. It's where you come for the mercy of God, right? What's the cross? That's the mercy seat. We come to, in the New Testament, our ark is the cross, and our ark is Jesus Christ. Do you remember the things that were in the ark? I mean, here's what was in the ark. They had the Ten Commandments in the ark, and that, what did that represent? That represented the righteousness of God. Also in the ark was this strange thing. It was Aaron's rod, and it bloomed, and the blooms never died. So what did that represent? It represented the resurrected life, the resurrected life of that rod, but it also represents the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. And then there was one other item. Do you remember the last item that was in the, that was contained in the ark? It was the manna. It was the bread that came down from heaven. And so through Jesus Christ and the cross, see, that's our ark. That's where we have our righteousness. We don't have righteousness of our own making. We get our righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the abundant and everlasting life through Jesus Christ. And we have the Word of God who came down from heaven right here in this Word that we look at right now. We have the Word of God. This is our manna that we're feeding on right now. And so whatever you and I face, wherever we go here in 2012, then what I want to do, I want to sanctify myself, and then I want to take up my cross, my ark daily, deny myself and follow me. Isn't that what Jesus said? That's exactly what Joshua says. Take up the ark and cross over. Jesus says, take up your cross daily, deny yourself and follow me. And so I'm not relying on my own righteousness. I'm relying on the new life that he's given me, and I'm going to be in his word. And that kind of ties us to the next charge that he gives. Look in verse number 9. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. So I'm going to separate myself, and I'm going to take up my cross daily. And then listen to what else I need to do if I want to see great victory in 2012. I'm going to come here, and I'm going to hear the words of the Lord your God. You know what? When I pray, do you come to hear God, or do you come to tell God about your situation? Well, I see a lot. We got a lot of honest people in here. See, what Joshua's not saying, I want you to come and tell God what you want. I don't want you to come to tell God what you're going to do and how you want him to help you do it. He says, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. You know, when we were doing worship a while ago, I have so many thoughts going around in my head, and I have to just constantly tell myself to be still. Be still and hear the word of God. Be still. Wouldn't that be a great resolution for 2012 to spend some time in prayer where we just be still and hear the word of God? To hear the direction God has for our life, to get guidance from wisdom from God, to get the power of God we need to face those giants and face those enemies and knock down those walls and get victory in this world, because people are watching us. We're going before the people. And then the next thing, jump down to verses 13 and let me read 17 too, and I'll tell you what this is all about. And it shall come to pass, verse number 13, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord. You know what that phrase is? That's a picture of you and I. We bear the ark of the Lord if we take up our cross daily and we follow Jesus Christ. Taking up your cross isn't you getting on the cross. Taking up the cross is denying yourself for your own righteousness, denying your power to do anything right. Taking up the cross is following Jesus Christ based upon his power and his blood and his righteousness. And so it says, that's a picture of us. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord, that's you and I, that was their priest that day. They were all just shadows of the real thing. The Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. the waters that come from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. Now, what's that remind you of? What is Joshua getting? He's getting the exact same thing that Moses got when he parted the Red Sea. Not quite as big of a miracle. It's just the Jordan. But we look down at verse number 15. Now, all of this happens, look at the last part of 15, when the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. And so this is the time when the river was flooded. And so it was really, it was a miracle if it was an inch deep, but it was a really great miracle because the waters were flooded and they were parted. And then look at verse number 17, the last verse of this chapter. It says, "Then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground, and all of Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed over the Jordan." You understand what happened there? The priest believed God. What's that called? It's called stepping out in faith. They stepped out in faith and they crossed over. They heard the word of the Lord. They went out and did what the Lord said, and they crossed over and the waters parted, and they had this great victory, and they marched right into the promised land. What's that all about? It's about faith. You have to have faith. You don't just step out on your own. You see, I'm listening to God. We got to go back to the last step. And I come to the Lord and I want to hear the words of the Lord. And then the Lord has something for you to do. He has something for me to do. And when I hear that word, if I give him time and I hear that word, then I have to step out in faith. Now, I got to have a lot of faith to do that, right? No. You know how much faith you got to have? Faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can move mountains. You know why? Because it's not how much faith you have. It's who your faith is in. It's the object of your faith. And the object of our faith is none other than Jesus Christ. And so, hey, you want to see the waters parted, and you want to step over into dry ground, and you want to see people saved because they are watching you and they see you're doing mighty things for God, then you got to have faith, and you've got to be listening to God, and you've got to believe. Now, I don't know about you, but I can honestly say right now that I'm really looking forward to the year 2012. Because I don't believe God would keep me here. I mean, I'm getting up there where he could take me at any moment. I don't believe he would keep me here if he didn't have a plan for my life. And I want to know what that plan is. I want to know what exciting things he has for me, because I know that hey, in 2012 he can do the impossible in my life if I let him. And how do I let him? I set myself apart. I take up my cross daily and follow him. I listen to the Lord. Who do I follow? There's one other point I want to make before we finish. Moses isn't in this picture, is he? Moses could go into the land. We've talked about this on Wednesday night. Why couldn't Moses go in the land? Well, he struck the rock when he was told to speak to the rock. But that wasn't the only reason. Moses couldn't go into the land because he represented the law. Joshua and by representing the law, he represents our own self-effort. We can't ever get. You want a good year in 2012? It's not going to happen in your own self-effort. It's going to happen when you take up your cross and you follow who? You follow Joshua. The word Joshua is Yeshua, which is in the Greek is Jesus, which we transliterate Jesus. Jesus Christ is our Joshua. We get into the promised land by grace. If I stay in his word and I pray by his spirit, I'm a doer of his word. When he calls me to step out, I can move forward and know that in Jesus Christ I will have the victory. And then people will follow me. Family members that we're trying to get saved. Co-workers that we're trying to get saved. Neighbors that we would like to see saved. That's only going to happen when they see something of value in our faith. And that only happens when we truly follow Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just look forward to the year 2012. I know that, again, as I prayed earlier, I know there's a lot of people in here tonight that are facing some serious giants, some serious enemies, Lord, but I know that you have great things planned for every one of us in this room if only, Lord, we'll set ourselves apart and give ourselves to you and follow after, hard after Jesus Christ, staying in his word, Lord, listening to him, and then stepping out in faith. Help us to do that in 2012. Help our church to do that. Help us to see great things happen here in Calvary Chapel in the lives of every single person in this room. Let 2012 be the greatest year of our life. We just ask for that by your grace. We can't do it, Lord. You're our Joshua. You can lead us into the promised land of blessing, the land flowing with milk and honey. We can only have that by the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.